before we sing a hymn, just read a few verses, more or less, to set the stage. In Psalm 8, the 8th Psalm, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? In Psalm 8, the Son of Man's in view, but his glory above the heavens. Verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, in light of all his work, what is man? That thou art mindful of him, the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. He was made a little lower than the angels, but his glory, he's crowned with it. 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. You know, it's a wonderful thing. What we read in Job 38, hast or knowest thou the ordinance of heaven, the laws in heaven, perfect order up there, all the stars and all the heavenly bodies. Hast thou or knowest thou the dominion of the heavens? And then the next question, canst thou set the dominion of the heavens in the earth? The Son of Man, in Psalm 8. When the Lord Jesus, in Luke 2, was a babe, in the manger, the dominion of heaven was set by God on the earth. And Simeon, that means he who hears, was able to lift up that babe. And he said, I have seen thy salvation. Wonderful, isn't it? We have the Son of Man here. Now turn to Proverbs, just one place where we sing here. Proverbs, we have in Proverbs, wisdom brought out. I'll just mention quickly in first chapter of Proverbs, verse 1, to know wisdom. In the first chapter, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. In chapter 2, verse 2, it's incline thine ear unto wisdom. In chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord giveth wisdom. 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. And 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. But in chapter 8, doth not wisdom cry, and wisdom put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entering of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Proverbs 8, unlike Psalm 8, is the eternal Son. The eternal Son, the Christ, made man. So you have wisdom personified here. It's Christ. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell. 14, I am understanding. I have strength. 15, by me kings reign. 16, by me princes rule. By me judges of the earth. 17, I love them that love me. This is wisdom, Christ. Now in verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, my revenue than choice silver. Fruit is what wisdom gives out. Gold, the righteousness of God. Every believer has the righteousness of God in Christ. But revenue is what he takes in for himself. That's silver, redemption. He's taking for himself out of this world a prize forever to love and cherish. Isn't it lovely? Well, this is wisdom. And so from verse 22 down to verse 31, we have the eternal Son become Son of Man. And now chapter 9 is what's on my heart. This introduces it. Not so much what wisdom is. That's the first 8 chapters. But what wisdom has done. Now we sing. Number 4. Proverbs 9. Not what wisdom is, what wisdom has done. Proverbs 9. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Now, when you get an introduction like this, you know you're going to have seven pillars to follow. Seven is the scriptural number of heavenly perfection. You're going to find the pillars are divine support, but they're also for testimony. They go both ways. I'm going to mention the pillars first, and then as we go through, I won't have to list them again, but we'll find them. The first pillar is in verse 2. It's worship and communion and full provision of God for it. That's the first pillar. The second is in verse 4. It's testimony, the gospel, and the light going out. The third is the whole truth. That's verse 4, the whole truth. The fourth is eternal life, verse 5 and 6. You see, the first four of the seven are fundamental, basic. The last three are more practical, needful, while we're here in this wilderness, needful. And so the fifth one is verse 9 and 10, the Spirit of God. And the sixth is the believer's hope, verse 11. And the seventh is the warning of a faithful Lord and the leading and instruction of the Spirit through this world. Seven pillars. Now we look. First of all, verse 1, wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. We'll turn to Ephesians 2 to first get the basis for this. Ephesians chapter 2. I shall read from the end of verse 19. The household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation, a dwelling place, a house of God through the Spirit. Wisdom has builded herself a house for a dwelling place. And seven pillars, don't forget, seven pillars, heavenly testimony on the earth of divine perfection. The foundation, Christ himself. That's verse 20 at the end. Jesus Christ himself. Chief shouldn't be there, there's one cornerstone, being the cornerstone, the foundation of the house. You see, in chapter 8 we saw its wisdom cry. That is, it's the eternal cry and the eternal testimony made known everywhere in this world. But in chapter 9, we have more of the provision of the Lord in respect to his creatures, man, in this earth. She's built in her house. Nowhere in the whole sinful world could there be found a suitable place for the Lord to dwell among his people. Nowhere. And his desire is to dwell with his people. That's his desire. So wisdom must prepare one. And she has hewn out seven pillars. You know, for Abraham, there was the altar, the approach to God. Isn't that lovely? And for Moses and the children of Israel, there was the tabernacle. God could be with them. Provision. And for the Jews in Jerusalem, there was the temple. God could be with them. For the church today, for every believer, we have God's house. That's what we have here. We have God's house. It's lovely to see it. Now back to our portion. Chapter 9. Wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Now by application, This can be used. These seven pillars are needed for every individual believer to build. I'd like to just mention before we go on, I better turn and read it, Psalm 124. Psalm 124. It may be 127. Let's see what I get there. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And brethren, we're all building. We have a house individually, our tabernacle, this body. And you're building. And you're either building hay, wood, and stubble for the fire, or you're building silver, gold, and precious stones to last forever. So in a sense, you can apply this to your life. But we can also apply it to families, the home. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You need all seven pillars. You need the foundation, Christ. But it can be applied even more to an assembly. We need it. All seven things, an assembly. Now we'll look and see how they apply. Verse 2. She has killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. This is the first pillar. Oh, how important it is, brethren. It's worship and communion and full provision for it. That's what we have, the first pillar. Worship is always first. Always. Always primary with God. Worship. And so it should be the first pillar. Divine communion. Thoughts in common with God about His Son. Divine communion. Expressed, of course, by eating and drinking at the same hospitable table. Under the same hospitable roof. That's communion. The Lord's table. Oh, we had the privilege this morning. The Lord, in the Word of God, in the Gospels primarily, sets forth repeatedly the divine welcome to it. I'm not going to turn to them, but in Luke 14 you have it. So beautifully, basic. All things are ready, come. What to? The great supper. The great supper. You see, that's the thought. Again. But you have to come. You have to come. All things are ready. But you have to come. And the invitation goes out. It's great because the cost to God. But then in Luke 15, you have that beautiful thing for the son that came. It says, bring in the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Absolutely essential. We had that in Luke 22. We didn't read that verse, but we were right there this morning. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. There's no other way. We can have this wonderful privilege of communion with God and worship. It has to be. Then in John 12, you have that precious thought, they made him a supper. Think of it. They made him a supper. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And the Father received it all, didn't he? Isn't that a nice thought that we have? And then the grace on grace, we can go through the word, but I shan't. But at the end, Revelation. Don't you have that beautiful thought in Revelation 21, verse of chapter 3? I stand at the door and knock. If any open to me, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Always that offer to come into this blessed place and have communion. To sup and full provision for it. Well, we can go on. I'll just mention that's the first pillar. It's Christ. our life, our wisdom, his supper for our continual remembrance of himself, his work till he comes. And everything's there. Now notice, she has also furnished her table. Now this is a very particular and a very special blessing which ought to be enjoyed by every believer. She hath furnished her table, like in Acts 2. All with one accord were in one place. That's the Lord's mind. That's the Lord's mind. But I'm sad to say it's enjoyed by very few today. That's a sad thought, isn't it? His table, the Lord's table, God's choosing. We had that in our reading in Sunday school. God's choosing, Deuteronomy, for the Lord's Supper. Many Christians celebrate in their own way the Lord's Supper, one way or another. But they're not at his table. They're not at his table. That's his desire, where he has promised to be. Think of it. Where two or three are gathered together under my name, there am I. We had that. He placed himself at the table. Well, this is a blessed thing. Now notice the last part of that verse 2. She hath mingled her wine. Brethren, I might just read it rather than say it. In hymn 245, I think is where it is. Hymn 245. I believe this is the thought. We think of all the darkness, verse 3, which round thy spirit pressed, of all those waves and billows which rolled across thy breast. Oh, there thy grace unbounded and perfect love we see, with joy and sorrow mingling. We would remember thee. She hath mingled her wine. Isn't it true that when we remember him who made this possible, true worship is with joy and sorrow? It's wine mingled. It's wine mingled. You know, if we just look for a second at the Song of Solomon, you have the thought. I think it's the 5th chapter. One verse will do it. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5. And we have in verse 5, I believe, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh. You know what that is? Bitter. Myrrh is bitter. But sweet-smelling myrrh is sweet. That's mixed emotions she had. When she thought of herself, when we think of ourselves, brethren, what it cost him to make this possible. There's sorrow, deep sorrow. But then when we think of what he has done for us, when she thought of what he had done for her, there's joy, sweet-smelling myrrh. And I believe that's the thought here. She hath mingled her wine. And so as with joy and sorrow mingling, we remembered him. Matthew 13:45, I believe, was read this morning or spoken at the remembrance. When he saw a pearl of great price, he sold all that he had and he bought it. That's sorrow. It cost him his lifeblood, brethren, and the judgment of a holy God to suffer it and exhaust that judgment. He bought it. But you know, Hebrews 2:2 said, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. That's the joy. It was mixed for him and it's mixed for us. It's lovely, isn't it? That's the first pillar, brother, and I could go on. I won't take any more time. That first pillar is divine worship, communion with God, and full provision for it. Oh, we need the pillar. Now we go on. Verse 3. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. This is the testimony, the light in this dark world, the gospel that ought to immediately go forth from every believer, from every believing household, and surely from every assembly gathered to His name. Light in this dark world. How that pillar is needed, and let's never forget it. You know, I was thinking we might want to turn to a place here. Isaiah 52. But before I do, remember what I read in Proverbs 8. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Now in Isaiah 52, the second pillar is so important, brethren, let's never forget it. She has set forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Verse 10. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. You know what that verse tells me? Sinner, wander as far away as you will, the arm of the Lord is not shortened thereby. It'll reach you still. It'll reach you still. It's a wonderful thought, that testimony. You know, in Isaiah 53, the first verse, the second question, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We had it answered by verse 10 of 52. But the real question, who's believed? I trust there isn't anyone here who hasn't believed. Who hath believed? That's the real question. Who will give ear for the aftertime? There is an aftertime. And that's why the light must go out in this world. That's why that second pillar is so important. The testimony going out through His own. Yes, wisdom is getting the blessed invitation out to all mankind. That's it. All the nations of the earth. You know, that's really Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, the first four verses, you have it. The whole story. It's the creatorial testimony of God to this whole world. Everyone. They're all responsible. Romans 1:20. They're without excuse. God gets it out. From the top of the mountains, from the door, and from the seat, the gate of every city, it gets out. The testimony. You know, in Psalm 19, I'll just turn, you don't have to. It says there, there's no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Think about that. Their line is going out through all the earth, the world, to the end of this world. Think about that. Who are the great objects of that wisdom's appeal? Who are the great objects? Well, it isn't the rich. It isn't the great. It isn't the mighty. It isn't the wise. It isn't the prudent or the powerful. No, I'll tell you who it is. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. That's what we have in our portion. Whoso is simple, verse 4, let him turn in hither. Nicodemus, you must get simple to get saved. Isn't that right? Nicodemus, you must get simple. Except you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whoso is simple, come on in. That's wisdom's cry. Wonderful. The littlest babe can come in. The oldest one can come in. You leave everything of yourself when you fall of Christ. It's simple. I love the simplicity of Christ coming out. Now the offer is to him that's void of understanding. Now we notice in Proverbs 9 again, to him that's void of understanding, verse 4, she saith to him, come and eat. And so that second pillar is so precious. It's the light of the gospel, the testimony, going out from the assembly, going out from a Christian household, going out from you. From you. That's the thought. Oh, how wonderful it is to everyone, everywhere, by grace and in love. And so by the first pillar, brethren, we're holy priests. Worship. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Holy priests. That's the main purpose of our being here. Holy priests. By the second pillar, brethren, we're royal priests. Because a priest never ceased being a priest, he functioned in the temple or out. In the temple, he was a holy priest, but out he was a royal priest, as the men. That's us. And that's the second pillar. And I think it's so precious. Worship first, always, then works. That's Hebrews 13. You can find it. Let's go to the third now in Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9 and verse 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, wisdom saith unto him, come and eat my bread. Come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Eat of my bread. Feed on Christ and be filled with joy. That's just what it says. The Word of God, the whole truth. Isn't it wonderful? We need it. That's the third pillar. It's the whole truth, the Word of God, our necessary food. Jeremiah said, I did find thy words and I did eat them. I did eat them. They were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So you got the wine with the bread. The wine with the bread. Wine is joy. Oh, this is a pillar that we just can't forget. Feed on Christ and be filled. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And brethren, feed on this precious word. There is no other way but the word of God. In fact, we could turn to just a little portion on this because these are his thoughts and not ours. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I believe it's the simplest place to get for this. 1 Corinthians, verse 18 of chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, not but unto us which are saved, the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And it's all in Christ, because he's wisdom. And if you have Christ, you have wisdom. That's the first thing, wisdom. But you have righteousness, that's God. It's God's righteousness in Christ. It's all Christ. And you have sanctification. It's the Holy Spirit that set us apart, sanctified us forever. The Lord said, I send another comforter. I send another comforter. He'll be with you and he shall be in you forever. Set apart from this world. That's a saint, sanctified forever. And the last is redemption. That brings in the blood. Always Christ, his work. The redemption, the blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. We had that. Oh, how precious this is. Now, this is the whole truth. And so we feed on it. We feed on Christ and we have the whole truth. That's the fourth pillar. Forsake the foolish. Forsake the foolish. I'm sorry, it's the third pillar. The whole truth as made known by God to all men who will be simple and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now notice in the second chapter, verse 9, but as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's how we have the truth, brethren. That's how we enjoy the truth, brethren. It's the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and gives us the deep things of God. Oh, it's wonderful, the whole truth. We have it by grace. And the 14th chapter of the second, the 14th verse of the second chapter shows you the difference. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. Well, brethren, that third pillar is the whole truth made known to us and good to us by the Spirit of God. Let's cherish it. Let's cherish the privilege every time we can open the precious Word of God. It's a pillar. We need it. It's part of heavenly perfection and completeness for every believer, every household, every assembly. Now, we have the fourth, verse 6. The fourth pillar in verse 6 of chapter 9. Forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. Forsake the foolish. It really should be follies. Follies of this world. Forsake the follies of this world and live the newness of life. Brethren, we have this new life. It's eternal. It's the life of Christ. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy it. We can enjoy it now, and that's the thought. We have that new life, and we can live. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, that new life. And two things I love about that new life, not only is it eternal, but it cannot sin. And it can only please God. What a wonderful life you have. Live in it. The newness of it. The goodness of it. That's the fourth pillar. Eternal life to live now. Oh, you know, what is eternal life? It's to know God. To know Thee, the only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. John 17:3. That's eternal life. Enjoy it. Let it live. And be happy. That's the thought. We have the mind of Christ. The last words in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. We have the mind of Christ. Oh, what a pillar it is. You know, Solomon, who above all others, before or after, was endowed with wisdom. Wisdom. True wisdom. From God, because the Lord gave it to him. But he revealed in this Old Testament, we're reading Proverbs, what wisdom is. It's Christ. It's his person. That's chapter 8. But now we're getting what wisdom has done. She's hewn out a house, seven pillars for herself, and that's what we're talking about. And so we have, going back, we have the fourth pillar, eternal life, live it now. Oh, these are basic, the first four. They're fundamental. Worship, communion and provision for it, testimony, the light and gospel, going out, the truth, the whole truth, and living that new life. It's eternal. You have it now. Now the last three pillars, they're more practical, but they're so needful. So needful, brethren, in your own life, your family, or the assembly. The fifth pillar is first I better mention verse 7 and 8 is a parenthesis here. Verse 7 and 8 is really a parenthesis. It's not one of the pillars. It's a warning. God in his faithfulness does this. I'll read it. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. You know what that tells me? If you haven't got that life, the life of Christ, you're not teachable. You're not teachable. It's a waste of time. You need that life. And that's the thought here. A scorner. a scoffer, an unbeliever, is not teachable. We've just had the whole truth and that eternal life, but without it, you can't be taught. You can never know the things of God. Never. If you die that way, you never will. I'll just use one verse for that. Revelations. I believe it's the last chapter or near it. Revelation 22, verse 11. This is the thought now. Oh, if you die in your sins, you're unteachable forever. You'll never have a thought of God or toward Him. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, forever. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still, forever. But he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, forever. And he that is holy, let him be holy still, forever. What a contrast. And that's why the parentheses of verse 7 to 8. The things we're talking about are only for those who have eternal life, the life of Christ. The others are unteachable. They're unteachable. Now we go on. The fifth. Verse 8 at the end. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge of the holy, understanding. He will increase in learning. That's the fifth pillar. You know what it is? It's the Holy Spirit leading you on by the Word of God, growing in grace. Growing in grace. Whoa, brethren, in your new life, there's no standing still. And this pillar tells me it's so important. It's the work of the Spirit of God in a new living soul. That'll bring the Word of God and let you grow thereby. Oh, when you're a babe, Peter says, desire the pure mental milk of the Word of God. So you can grow thereby. And we need it. You're either going to grow in grace, dear believers, or you're going backwards. And that's a warning. It's solemn. There is no standing still for a believer. Nothing like it at all. The verse that really tells me this, and it's several places in the gospel. To him that hath, more will be given, and abundantly. But to him that hath not, that which he had will be taken from him. No standing still. Oh, I plead with you, go on with the Word of God and grow. You'll have joy, and soon fullness of joy, but you'll have joy here. And you'll grow spiritually. Can you lose the joy of your salvation? Oh, yes, you can. Or David wouldn't have prayed, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You'll never lose your salvation, but you can lose the joy of it. You go backwards if you don't go forward. Can you lose the sense of the Lord's presence with you when he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Oh, yes, you can. You'll never lose His presence. You'll lose the sense of it. That's a solemn thought, isn't it? The two on the way to Emmaus. The Lord Himself drew near and went with them and spoke with them and walked with them. And they didn't know it was the Lord. They were going by their own thoughts, their own way, away from the place where they should have been. There's loss. They go backwards. Oh, it's a solemn thought. And that's the thought here. The fifth pillar. It's the leading on of the Word of God by the Spirit of God in you. Grow. It's practical and it's needful. It's a pillar we can't forget. And now the sixth. It's verse 11. The sixth pillar. For by me thy days shall be multiplied. And thy years of thy life shall be increased. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life increased. For the Jewish believer, the Jewish child of God, long life here was the blessing. But we can apply this verse to us. We can apply this verse to us because not like the Jewish portion, the Jewish hope was to live a long life here. We as believers, isn't it true? It's the hope of every believer, eternal life in heaven. And you know, we have that life and more abundantly because we enjoy it now. And I believe this pillar, the sixth pillar, is the hope, not like the Jewish hope, but the hope in every believer today. Not long life, eternal life in glory with Christ. It's the hope set before us. It's the hope of our calling. It's 1 Thessalonians 4 at the end. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's Psalm 23 at the end. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's that hope we had when we remembered the Lord this morning. Arise, my loved one, and come away. It's that hope that's here. And I believe it's a pillar we better live with and the good of it. Brethren, it's ours. It's ours. Without that hope, you can't have that light here. Without that hope set before you, you can't grow. It has to be that hope, ever that hope. That's maybe today. I love to start every day now with two words, perhaps today. Perhaps today, it sets your heartstrings right for a pathway through this world. If you think, perhaps today. It makes you alert for the lost all around you. Perhaps today. If he doesn't come today, that's all right too. It means one of two things. He has something he wants me to do for him tomorrow. Or he has something I must learn before he takes me home. Either way, it's wonderful. But when the next day comes, I start the same way. Perhaps today. Oh, it's wonderful, that hope. That's the sixth pillar. It's the hope of all of us, eternal life ahead. The redemption of our bodies, brethren. The seventh pillar, verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous, she's simple and knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house in a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways, who is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Is that a pillar? That's a pillar. I believe it's so needful today, brethren. I might just read this portion in the seventh chapter of Proverbs to get the setting. The seventh chapter of Proverbs, well, it might be in the sixth. I might read in the sixth first, and that's the only one I'll use for time. Speaking from verse 20 of the Word of God, the Father's commandment, the law of thy mother, the Word of God. Bind them continually on thy heart and tie them about thy neck, and when thou goest, it shall keep thee. Lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. The Word of God. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is a light, reproof of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty. It's speaking here of the woman because it's speaking of lust. And all the distractions of Satan and all the sin of this world are lust. It's a lust of the eyes and it's a lust of the flesh and it's a pride of life that's lust of self. It's all lust. But he's using this example here because it's a solemn one and one of the most deceiving. Now notice, lust not after her beauty, verse 25, chapter 6, Proverbs. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. The adulteress will hunt for the precious life. the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. We had in our portion here that her house and the guests of her house are in the depths of hell. You know, Satan, through all the lusts of this world, is after your precious life. And I believe that seventh pillar is God's faithfulness in instructing and warning, so we're not overcome, overtaken, as we traverse this sinful, evil world on our way home. We need this, brethren. We need the warning. The dead are there. The dead are there. For those that are lost, she seeketh the precious life. And then Satan takes the soul to hell forever if they die in their sins. Solemn, isn't it? Those of us that are saved in His, she seeketh the precious life. She loved to make shipwreck, put out the light, the testimony, a loss of life here, not soul, a loss of life here. Yes, it says she's after the precious life. I believe the seventh pillar is God's faithfulness, the faithful warning to each one of us in this world. The dead are there. She will hunt for the precious life, your life. We need all seven pillars. Thank God for the warning. The Spirit of God warns. He won't be inactive. The Spirit of God's a person in each one of us, a person of the Godhead. And His primary office in this world as the lost sinners is to bring them to Christ by the Word of God. But once He brings you to Christ, His primary office is to bring Christ to your heart by the Word of God. And if you don't let Him, He isn't going to be inactive. He's going to rap on your conscience until you get back where you should be. And then He can perform His office, bring Christ to your hearts by the Word of God. And joy. Lovely, isn't it, that He will not be inactive? That's this pillar. The faithful warning of God by the Word of God and how we need it. I want to close now with just a few verses here. First off, Proverbs 6, just for a few guidelines, we'll be done. Proverbs chapter 6 again. I read it once. I want to read it again. The Word of God, bind it in verse 21 on thy heart. Brethren, you got to have it there in your heart, the Word of God, Christ. Tie it about thy neck. That's for testimony. When someone wears something about their neck, it's to be displayed. It's testimony. Don't just put the word in thy heart. It'll keep thee, but put it about thy neck. That's the second pillar, the testimony, the light that goes out. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. And there's no other way to be kept but by the word of God. Now in Psalm 148. This ought to be the prayer of every child of God every day. Verse 8. Cause me to hear. 142, I'm sorry. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to know the way wherein I shall walk. Verse 10. Teach me to do thy will. At the end, lead me into the land of uprightness. At the end of 12, I am thy servant. We need that, brethren. We need keeping. And now one last verse, Proverbs 24, verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it's established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build. You need all seven pillars. And the house is your body. It's your own life. The house is your family. It's your home. And the house is your assembly. And brethren, let's pray that the chambers will be filled with all precious and pleasant riches, because that's God's desire for us. We need the seven pillars. Let's sing number 141. 141. And when the day of glory shall burst upon this sea, dispelling all the darkness which deepening still had been, oh, then he'll come in brightness, whom every eye shall see, arrayed in power and glory, and we shall with him be.